Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey. Today, and this was not quite planned on purpose, it just happened to work out this way, we're talking about sort of three different weight loss things, I'll go with, that all happen to start with C's. Again, that was not on purpose, that I just happened to notice that. And this all comes about because lately I've been hearing a lot about cryotherapy, and it seems like I keep seeing places that do cryotherapy sort of pop up. And I'm just like, interestingly, I thought I knew what cryotherapy was, and then in looking it up, determined that I actually really, really didn't. And therefore, then had to go look up the thing I thought I was looking up. And it turned out to be something else that we'll talk about later. And then that led me on. This episode came about somewhat tangentially, as like half my thought processes tend to go. One thing led to another, that led to another, that led to another. By the time you get to the end, you may not at all be able to figure out where you started from to begin with. So the first thing, cryotherapy. If you know sort of any basic just Latin roots or cryo, you can kind of guess this probably has something to do with cold, and you'd be completely right. Cryotherapy, just as the like basic dictionary definition, is the local or general use of low temperatures in medical therapy, which doesn't quite explain what it is. It's been done possibly since we've had ice, but for more general use. So like cryotherapy is almost essentially not quite, you know, when you put an ice pack on a bruise or anything, but it's going along that same sort of thought process that it's used to treat a variety of benign and malignant tissue damage. It's also widely used to relieve muscle pain, sprains, and swelling, either via soft tissue damage or post-operative swelling. So it's that same sort of thing of, oh, my foot's really swollen, let me put an ice pack on that for 20 minutes. You're not supposed to go over 20 minutes, I believe, with ice packs, which I tend to ignore, but I also just always use a washcloth or a towel in between the ice pack and my skin, so I think I'm okay. I've certainly never had any long-lasting damage from using ice packs, so whatever. Cryotherapy nowadays, the term's a little confusing because it's one of those terms that lots of people use somewhat in different ways. So some people will use the term cryotherapy when really they're kind of more talking about cryosurgery. So cryosurgery is the application of extreme cold to destroy abnormal or diseased tissue, and it's most commonly used to treat like skin conditions. That's not quite the cryotherapy we're going to talk about, but when I was looking it up, that kind of did come up a lot, and so I was like, okay, we don't all use cryotherapy the same way. Not at all confusing, gee, thanks. So cryotherapy now has been popping up a lot because it's sort of believed, along with the whole, hey, it, you know, keeps tissue, well, it brings down the swelling stuff. It's believed that it also helps to lose weight. So fans of cryotherapy believe that you can boost your metabolism and burn anywhere from 500 to 800 calories with just 3 minutes in a cryotherapy chamber, But interestingly, that cryotherapy chamber is set to -306 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, I live in Northern California, and it's already hot, and we're still at the recording of this in the sort of middle of June, so I can only imagine how the rest of summer is going to be. But even when I'm like outside and just being like, oh my gosh, I hate it, it's so hot, -306 degrees sounds crazy. Like, I'm just like, no. But this idea of getting into this really, really, really cold chamber comes from sort of things that are semi-proven in research, such that, like, research participants who spend a lot of time in colder rooms, their body did sort of expend more energy to keep them warm, and that did have something to do with burning brown fat. But then once they stopped participating in the study, their overall fat makeup wasn't really changed, and they went back to normal once they stopped being, you know, constantly cold. So research has not really shown that there's a permanent difference from this, but there are a lot of fans of cryotherapy, which you now see, depending on where you live, popping up in all different places of cryotherapy. Like, I don't even know what you'd call them, salons or spas or whatever. But the idea that these people do, and the reason these chambers were created, is that the cloud of cold, I guess, that's sort of puffed at you, tricks your body into thinking it's in danger of freezing. So that sends it into preservation mode. Okay, I'm in danger of freezing. I want to stay alive. Let me burn that fat to stay alive. Aha! Cool. Fat and weight loss. That's, especially since for cryotherapy, the sessions, I guess you'd say, are usually about 3 minutes, and at -300+ degrees, or -300 minus degrees. Now, I'm not even sure how you do that number. You probably wouldn't want to spend more than 30 seconds, let alone more than 3 minutes, in a really cold chamber. I'm having like a really hard time and thinking of cryotherapy, not thinking of, oh gosh, I've just forgotten it. You know, the thing where they freeze people who have either died or right before they die to save them until science gets better at whatever. And now I'm totally thinking of Mr. Freeze and Mr. Freeze's wife from Batman and Robin, which is a whole nether dark rabbit hole that we won't go into, because that movie is, yeah, moving on. Also really bad. Like, I like puns, but oh my gosh, the puns in that terrible. So moving on. The biggest thing with cryotherapy, and it's hard to tell, a lot of the things I saw were like the advertisement pictures, which has like a woman in a bikini going into cryotherapy. I'm just like, no, 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 no. It's like, why don't you just go out to, you know, ice fishing, which people do have done. People who don't want to pay for cryotherapy have tried to do it themselves with like ice baths or whatever. And, you know, athletes themselves do use ice baths. But even just looking at that, I'm just like, oh, how do you do that? Oh my gosh. Oh, I am like physically uncomfortable just looking at you climbing out of a tub of ice water. No, just not going to happen. But the main problem with cryotherapy, even regardless of the whether it works or whether it doesn't thing, is frostbite, as you could maybe possibly have guessed. So there have been some people who have suffered frostbite after cryotherapy sessions. If you go to a, I'm not even sure if they're regulated, but if you go to a quote unquote good cryotherapy, we're going to call them studio, it's specially set up to do cryotherapy with the special cryotherapy chamber and everything else, but it should provide you with the proper gear to protect you from frostbite. So that's things you wear on your hands and things you wear on your feet, and not letting you stay in the machine for longer than 2 to 3 minutes so that you avoid the danger of frostbite. Because of all things, I mean, frostbite just sucks. Just in general, the existence of frostbite is a terrible, terrible thing. But when you're trying to lose weight, to be like, ah, yes, And now my fingers and toes have frostbite. And also I maybe or maybe didn't drop a few pounds. Like, that would just be one of the worst side effects I think you could possibly have. Because it's just really also kind of out there. It's like, oh, well, how did your diet go? Oh, well, you know, it gave me diarrhea. Oh, how about yours? Oh, it gave me frostbite. Okay. So, yeah, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the thing I thought I was looking up when I looked up cryotherapy and then turned out to be completely wrong. So stay tuned.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. Today we're talking about all different sorts of ways that people have found to lose weight without the, you know, going to the gym or exercise or cardio even. We're cutting out cardio. Cardio is not a C that we're talking about today. But our second C is cool sculpting, which you can guess by the name will kind of explain why I was confusing it with cryotherapy and thought when I was hearing cryotherapy, this is what it was. That's not the case. Cool sculpting and cryotherapy are two different things, though they both do involve coldness. But of the two, cool sculpting sounds more doable and, as far as I know, doesn't really have as much danger of frostbite. You don't need to wear any special things on your hands or feet while you do it. So that's a plus. So cool sculpting is... And I couldn't find any other term for this, so I think it's like a licensed thing where everyone who practices cool sculpting practices cool sculpting as opposed to like a facelift or something. And you are supposed to, I think it sort of falls under plastic surgery, but it's not invasive. Cool sculpting is actually scientifically known as, I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation of this, cryolipolysis, which is essentially freezing fat cells. So it's the only FDA-cleared non-surgical fat reduction treatment that uses controlled cooling to eliminate stubborn fat that resists all efforts through diet and exercise. I think that's sort of their fancy way of saying it's the only FDA cold fat-killing treatment. Because cryotherapy is, on the one hand, I don't think considered along the plastic surgery lines in the same way. So I'm not sure that it has to be cleared by the FDA. With cool sculpting, there's a sort of... It looks kind of to me like a buffer, kind of like a car buffer, except not like a car buffer. But that's closest I can sort of think of as to what that process of someone putting that on your body kind of looks like, is a stay-in-place sort of car buffer, where the fat is the car buffer, I apologize that I just have no other term for that, is put onto the body and fat sort of sucked in and coldness is applied to it, but it's done in a way that it targets the fat but doesn't damage your skin, and it freezes the fat cells, and then your body kind of eliminates the dead fat cells as it just goes through its regular process of eliminating waste or whatever. I don't mean that you know, necessarily like they end up in the toilet, but in the way that your body gets rid of fat or internal things once they're done with them. However, for cool sculpting, you actually, there's a sort of caveat in that it's only supposed to be only, quote unquote, for stubborn fat that diet and exercise hasn't gotten rid of. You're not supposed to look at it as like a major weight loss thing, like a gastric bypass or something. But you do at the same time have to have enough fat for the applicator to adhere to. So supposedly you can't have too much fat, but you also still have to have enough fat for it to work, which according to the things I saw is kind of essentially like if the pinch thing works. If you can pinch your fat, you maybe have enough fat. Interestingly, there's actually a kind of reverse of cool sculpting, and they're not related at all, but I just happened to find this when it was coming up, and this is the one thing that doesn't start with a C, is sculpture. Sculpture with two S's, not a T, so it's S-C-U-L-P-S-U-R-E. Those both seem sort of brand name-ish, so I don't know that there's any other name for this process. Sculpture, instead of freezing fat cells, uses heat to kill the fat cells. So a laser is used to heat fat in the area where the thing is. Again, I have no other word for carb except carb buffer, but they're different. Used to heat fat in the treatment area to the point of irreversible damage. And then once damaged, the fat cells are swept away by the body's lymphatic system. Sculpture, like cool sculpting, is also FDA approved. It's currently approved to treat the stomach, love handles, back thighs, and the double chin. And it does say that it's like the, in quotes, double chin. I'm like, okay, is there a question over? Is that not called a double chin everywhere? What do you call it other than a double chin? I don't understand the quotes, but whatever. They're both FDA approved. They both take about 3 months to see full results. But you may need more than one session to see the results. And they run, they're kind of pricey, although I don't actually know prices for other things you'd have to see a plastic surgeon about, so. But they're kind of pricey at about $1,000, $1,500 a session, depending on how many sessions you need. And then it takes 3 months for, you know, your body to clear them all out with the lymphatic system or what have you. Cool sculpting can be a bit less uncomfortable than sculpture just because one's using cold and one's using heat, but it's with the laser, and depending on how your pain sensation goes, that heat thing can be really uncomfortable. Whereas with cool sculpting, because it's cold, it actually kind of feels a bit like a numbing effect. Like again, with an ice pack, if you put an ice pack on and then, you know, don't put like a towel or something down and leave it for a while to the point that you're just like, oh man, I can't really feel my toes or whatever you put it on for a while. That's kind of the point of an ice pack, but you don't want to go too far either. Cool sculpting is that same way. Because it's using cold instead of heat, it numbs it. So even if there's a discomfort, it's getting sort of numbed by the coldness. Likewise, if you've got a bit more fat to remove, cool sculpting, it seems, would be the better option. Just because, again, it has that whole, you have to have enough fat for the applicator to adhere to. So it's designed to work with more fat. And so if you've got more fat to remove, cool sculpting would be there. For both of the branded name procedure things, there's no downtime and the risks are minimal, which is why they're becoming really popular. This is why, again, when I kept looking up cryotherapy, I thought I was looking up cool sculpting because I'd never heard of sculpture before, but I had heard of cool sculpting and knew the idea and the premise of it, but then clearly obviously forgot the actual name because I got confused. But this is why it's becoming more popular. It's not a surgery per se. It's not invasive. There's not really downtime. You may get some bruising, swelling or soreness afterwards, but it's not anything where it's like, and now I have to stay in the hospital for a few days or, you know, what have you. There's no wounds or anything to manage after the fact. It's just maybe I feel a bit roughed up because I had my fat sucked and then frozen and or melted away. And I'm sure that would probably feel a bit strange. And I do believe for both of the procedures, they sort of recommend that, you know, this should be a sort of, not last resort, but that ideally you want to do weight loss through diet and exercise and eating right and living healthy. And then if, you know, you just can't get rid of that last stubborn fat somewhere, hey, come in for the procedure. So it's still not clear that you could really do this as like a major, major weight loss tool or technique or what have you. But personally, I think the cool sculpting one just sounds better just because A, I don't like pain. I don't. And also B, and maybe I'm being horribly biased because we're coming into summer here. The idea of sort of sitting still as I get really, really hot and not moving, because I'm sure I really probably shouldn't, pass. Just, I don't know that I could do that. Whereas with cool sculpting, I imagine I probably actually would get really, really cold. But since I've done that with ice packs anyways, it feels sort of better. Like, I know you do heat to, well, now I can't remember, to relax things away. I'll go with that. But you don't usually get to a very high heat level, and you have to be, like, careful. Like, if I'm, like, I just want to soak in a hot tub, have to be careful that I run the water at a proper temp so I don't, like, scald myself. But with an ice pack, you get to ice frozen temperature, and then you're kind of there. So, I don't know. So, we're going to take another short break, and then, again, following my tangential thought process, we'll come back and talk about another C treatment that I originally got to through looking up cool sculpting. So stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, where we're all about CE weight loss treatment procedures, what have you. So the way I first got to cool sculpting, even before the confusing it with cryotherapy thing, was, and I don't remember how I got to this, I had somehow stumbled on a forum or something where they were looking at a picture of a celebrity that had these sort of identical red marks on the back of her thighs, and trying to figure out what that was. And the fact that there were a few celebrities that had these sort of marks made people think this can't be just a birthmark. It's got to be something specifically. It's got to be like a procedure. Is this coming from like liposuction or what have you? And one of the things that people put up as a potential answer, I'm not quite sure what to call that, was carboxy therapy. So carboxy therapy is, interestingly, actually quite old. It was originated in France in the 1930s and has been used widely in Europe since the 1970s. But it's where they inject carbon dioxide into parts of your body, causing blood to rush to the area. And this is a treatment that people use for cellulite, for stretch marks, for under eye circles, because the idea is your body naturally makes carbon dioxide. And we as human beings have sort of noticed for decades and perhaps even centuries that going to places like natural springs that have a lot of carbon dioxide in them can sort of improve the way your body looks. So the idea is because your body sees the carbon dioxide and is like, okay, I have to get rid of that. So let me send blood there and rush the oxygen and go through the whole process. That will, we can basically recreate that by injecting the carbon dioxide ourselves. So this is also approved by the FDA. And along with the other things, it's been used by some physicians to treat things like erectile dysfunction, acute arthritis, alopecia, things possibly due to like poor blood circulation. Because again, by injecting the carbon, we're causing the blood to rush to that area to get rid of the carbon. That's kind of how your body works, but just with blood and carbon dioxide, period. And this is not, when I first heard about this, I was like, wait, isn't that what, that's carbon monoxide. It's not carbon monoxide, it's carbon dioxide, sort of the same thing that they like, my first thought is they inject into sodas and that's what makes them fizzy, but it's also something that your body naturally produces. So don't freak out about that. This is another thing like the cryotherapy and the sculpture. I'm sorry, not cryotherapy. There I go again. Cool sculpting and sculpture, where one of the reasons people really like it is because there's not really any downtime. You can basically immediately return to your regular life, except for swimming and bathing in a tub for 24 hours after treatment, if you got the treatment for things like cellulite or fat reduction. You really kind of aren't supposed to, like, you know, get the area really wet or anything. Like those two, the price actually works out about the same because it's cheaper per session. It's about, depending on where it is, between $70 and $200 a session. But then most people need between 7 to 10 sessions for full results. And those sessions are usually spaced about a week apart. So kind of if you get, you know, 7 to 10 at 70 to 200, you're still coming out at about $1,000 or so. So they all kind of work out the same. Yeah, it's just very interesting to me that where cryotherapy and cool sculpting both seem, oh, this is very new and this is possibly, you know, a new fad that people are doing to lose weight, carboxytherapy has actually been around for decades. And we're just, I don't even know if we're behind the times. I imagine that the reason this was much more widely used in Europe and less widely used here in America probably had something to do with, like, you know, government approval and stuff. Is this safe or what have you? Because there's a number of things like that in health and skincare products where this is totally legal in Europe and this is not legal in the US or vice versa. Like, I believe hydroquinone is one of those ingredients where you can use that in some products in some countries, but not in others. And therefore, you know, if you want that in your product, you have to order it, essentially, internationally in order to get it. So that's my guess. I'm not quite sure. Of all of them, carboxy, even though it's been around the longest, was kind of hard for me to find a lot about. Again, partly probably because we haven't done it as much in the US, and so there's not as much info hear about it. And if it's very regular otherwise, they wouldn't be like, oh, this is amazing, we have to talk about this new thing. It's like, we've done this since the 70s, it's talked out, we're done. Our carboxytherapy is, it's a very, very small needle, which is why it's not considered a surgery, because it's a very, very tiny needle, but it is still a needle. And I'm just like, needles, okay, but you've got a needle and you're going to be injecting me with things with that needle and I don't like shots and I don't know that I want you to do that, because depending on what you're getting done, that might be several needle pricks. Like if you're doing it for, you know, the under eye therapy or what have you, that might just be one depending on how it goes. And this, like the other things, you kind of do have to go through a plastic surgeon's guidance. Just because, more so even than health, it's kind of appearance-based for a lot of people. And so to get the appearance thing right, should go through a plastic surgeon. But if you're doing it for large areas, like the way I discovered this through the forum, was the woman's back of her thighs, and so that's much larger than your under-eye bags, that's probably multiple pricks, or it's just one needle there for a long time, but I would believe it would be multiple pricks. And I'm just like, nope, I don't come near me with needles. Why needles? Why do we not yet have non-invasive, non-needly things? I want to get on that, like, especially like when I had to have blood drawn for different things and have to have blood tests. I was like, why don't you just have a scanner? You can read my blood oxygen through like just the thing I put my finger in, but you can't read all the other stuff about my blood without having to prick me. Why? Ugh, medical science, get on that. So for me, of all of them, I'd probably give CoolSculpting a try, just because, not even that it sounds necessarily better, but it kind of sounds like less painful, the least painful and or no, please don't do that to me of all the things. But the listener, of course, can choose for themselves. I don't know about cryotherapy, and I don't know that cryotherapy would have to be, but CoolSculpting, Sculpture, and carboxytherapy are all now approved by the FDA in America. Cryotherapy is very easy to find. I've seen a couple of places for CoolSculpting. I haven't yet seen things for Sculpture, and I think it's very hard, depending on where you live, to find things for carboxytherapy outside of, like, this is part of a plastic surgeon's office, and this is one of many treatments that we offer. I don't know that you can find a specific, this is carboxytherapy only sort of thing. CoolSculpting and Sculpture, I think they have to be specifically licensed, and those are brand named. Carboxytherapy is just the general term, and so it's much more just enter plastic surgeon here. So I hope that this episode has been informative for the listeners as to these new weight loss, appearance boosting, what have you, treatments that some of them aren't actually new. And I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.